So Nate's playing MSG.
And a cockroach comes out.
You know when you see this shoe the most? Them leaving before the encore. This is the official shoe of don't play the new stuff. I'm here for the hits. Prince William shares the one, quote, very strict rule he and Kate Middleton have for their three kids. I couldn't have rolled my eyes back further when I read this article. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian and the host of the aforementioned podcast. Alongside me in our state-of-the-art recording studio above Public Square Coffee in downtown La Mesa, California, it's my lovely wife, my co-host, and my best friend, Melissa Nickerson.
Hey there.
Good to see you, Mel. Mm-hmm. I was trying to get a description of your shirt. What it kind of looked like was like a... like from a distance before you see some of the other colors, like a children's space painting.
Okay.
You know, like...
yeah, like a galaxy.
When they get the black construction paper out.
Mm-hmm.
Exciting day for you as a kid.
And like sponge, mm-hmm. like a painting.
Yeah,
like
a little sponge
painting.
Yeah. Like, and it looked like it would be a little, like you could touch some of it, like maybe some sparkles. There'd be some texture to it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mel, producer Andy is here as well.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, yeah. Mel, some of you guys know this, some of you guys don't. Mel is an art teacher, among many other things. And she taught a lesson this last week, and you said they were rowdy. You said it was one of the most rambunctious classes you've had yet, right?
I mean, I've probably taught like 100 to 150 art classes, and these kids would not sit down. And then they just kept talking over each other, like louder, and you do like the bop bop ba bop, and then they gotta go bop bop, and then they would just keep talking.
Well,
like yelling.
You ran into a couple issues. One, the teacher left. Teacher's not supposed to leave, but the teacher left because you're like, I'm not in charge of all of you.
I don't know your classroom management style, but I'm not sure she has one.
No. Then you said pretty early on, one of the real kind of type A perfectionist types made a mistake and started crying.
Yeah, two girls in the front started crying.
Well, I will say this. One thing that's great about art is a lot of the type A's are bad at it, and that drives them crazy.
It was the first step, draw a circle.
Yeah.
Trace a circle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're good at literally everything else in their life except art.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard for them to fail. But it's nice for us to see.
Yeah. I mean, I
don't know if that was this girl's
story.
No,
I mean, it's normal for kids to kind of shut down or like need to redo.
These were high schoolers, by the way.
Start over.
It's like third grade, right?
Second and third.
Combo class.
Yeah.
School funding is getting cut. Not great.
COVID did affect children.
Yes. I don't think that's debatable at this point, but yeah. What were you drawing again? What was the art project today?
So we did a sun and moon.
Uh-huh. Like a galaxy?
Yeah. No, it wasn't a galaxy. I don't know. It worked out. At the end, I could barely get a word in, but it's like, remember, you know, an hour ago, like, you guys all didn't think you could do this.
Oh, did you tell them that?
Yeah.
That's
and I
nice.
Was like, and you guys did.
Yeah.
But it was rough. It was a really rough start.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was giving instructions and I had a kid interrupting me like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
I can't do this. Well, let me finish my thought here.
You're like, hey man, it's art. There's no winning and losing. You know? Just do your best, man. It's this or real classwork. So, you know, this is clearly
it's
better.
It's just me than lunch.
Yeah.
You know?
They're like, you think this perfectionism changes?
Yeah. You're like, your school already cut art. That's why I'm here. I'm here on a grant provided by the local rec center. Just be thankful that I'm here. Yeah. Well, it's good work that you're doing out there. You know,
it wasn't the best, like, back to school first lesson.
Right, right.
Is can only go up from here.
What are what are rewarding moments as an art teacher? Like,
when a kid figures something out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I had a kid who worked ahead, and like, I had to simplify the lesson because we were starting it
a little rambunctious.
You know, we were not starting well, and he like did everything I did on the sample. Like, he just did it by himself.
Yeah,
he just was like, "Oh, I can make that," and he just did.
Yeah,
you know, and he like outlined everything. I was like, "We're not outlining." I was just cutting steps.
Yeah,
you know, to simplify. But he did it all.
Gotta be on your toes out there, yeah.
Usually there's, I don't know, like whenever you teach art, there's 20, 30 kids or adults. Three are way ahead.
Right.
They need no instruction.
Mm-hmm.
And then like 3 to 5 are so far behind, you're like, you gotta move on or
right,
you're not gonna
finish. Right,
right. You know? And so then there's the
And are between. They behind because they don't understand it or because some of them really take their time on their art?
It can be several things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or some of them come in late. So you're like, work with your partner, your neighbor to like catch up.
Yeah. And I'm sure some kids are just rushing because they hate it. They just want to get done.
And then they have to start over. Somebody like rips their paper.
Joke's on you. You have to do two of these. You got to fill the whole hour, buddy.
But it's not uncommon for a kid to like take one corner and like focus all their energy and you're like, it's a full page.
It's a full page. Yeah.
We got to move on.
But if I can just control this little corner, I don't got to worry about this other page I got to deal with.
So it's always fun to see what kids will do. Like, we had this project where you weren't supposed to use tape. That was the whole point. You know, like just glue.
Yeah.
For like all these pipe cleaners and pom-poms. And there's a kid that started like stapling and taping. Like, you got to stop.
Yeah. Hey, man, there's one idea on this project here.
Oh, that was the other thing. There's a kid that was just stapling most of the hour on the teacher's desk, just stapling. I was like, we got to put the stapler.
They're making their own art project.
Yeah. The emotion is they're trying to keep it together.
Yeah. There's some symbolism there.
I'm like, you need to leave the stapler.
There's got to be also moments where they bring up something they're really proud of, though, right? Where they didn't think they could do it, and then they figure it out. That's going to be nice.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, this project had, like, a Mexican Heritage Month, like, theme. And so a couple of the kids were like, it was Sol y Luna, so Sun and Moon. And they're like, we have this art in our house.
Oh, that's nice.
You know, and so we told the little story about, I think it's Mayan culture that has like a sun moon story about two gods.
Yeah.
One of them becomes the sun, one becomes the moon.
Hmm.
So that was kind of fun. They're like, yeah, we have this art up in our homes and stuff.
That's nice.
Yeah.
It's a nice moment. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's been our episode, everybody. anyway, thanks for tuning in, everybody. Thanks for teaching art to the kids. That's great, Mel. We got a lot to talk to today. That was one of the things I wanted to talk about was our week/weekend recap was your art lesson. We're going to talk about Oktoberfest. We're going to talk about Nate Bargatze playing 3 sold-out shows at Madison Square Garden. Mm-hmm. I was there. I wasn't on the shows. I didn't sell any of the tickets, but I'll tell my story of being there, which was pretty cool and pretty humbling. We got some comments. We got some emails to get to. Got a couple articles I want to dive into. We got a lot to get to.
All right.
Oh, my goodness. You know what? Before we do that, though, one little extra bit that we got to do here.
Because, what do we got?
It is your birthday.
Andy surprises.
It is your
birthday.
You already
got me a birthday present.
I know. That wasn't even the big one.
Oh, my gosh.
So here you go. I'm going to hand this off.
Oh, birthday for Dustin.
Oh.
What do we got here? Thanks, Andy.
Ooh, you're welcome.
What am I looking
at? Maybe open it up.
This is the...
Is this a speaker? No.
Nope.
What is this?
So this is the limited edition Oasis jack rack from Plugins, where this is how you hang your keys.
Oh my gosh, this is incredible.
Yeah.
Oh, this rules.
There you go. So that I had been waiting for that for a while. My my buddy Dan from Atreyu owns that company. And I hit him up when they announced the Oasis one was coming. And I was like, oh, I got to have that for the studio.
Oh, that's great. So you just plug these in here and then you hang your keys?
That's it.
That's so cool.
Hang your keys like a rock star. I believe that is the slogan.
Oh, my gosh.
Did you hold it up?
Yeah, I
look
did.
At that.
Isn't that fun?
This rules. The box is awesome, too.
Yeah, dude. So, yeah.
Oh, thanks,
there
man.
There you go.
That's
happy birthday
awesome.
From,
thank you.
From me and plugins.
Yeah. Fantastic.
So fun.
Even better than
well
going
done.
To the concert.
Well done, Andy.
There you go. Yeah, if you can't afford.
Thoughtful gift.
Yeah, that's one way to get it.
Speaking of live shows, guys, I got some upcoming dates I'd like to tell you about. This week, is this coming out? To this Thursday? This episode's coming out this Thursday. Yeah, it is.
So.
Yeah.
Yes.
Look at this fancy new updated website that Mel and I got in a fight over. Because you had done this and I didn't like it. And then a couple of years later, we worked it out. This weekend, I'm going to be in San Francisco, October 9th through 11th at the Punchline. So check that out. The following weekend, I'm going to be in Kansas City. They're listed one at a time. So you got to scroll a little more here. Kansas City, the 16th through the 18th. Then I'm up at Seattle for two shows. The second show is sold out at the Neptune, but we added a second show, 3:30 p.m. Corvallis, Sunday, fortunately for me, it sold out. November, we're going to be in Nashville, Tennessee. Starting to promote that one a lot more. November 14th through 16th at Zany's Comedy Club. And then Thanksgiving week, San Diego, the 28th, 29th, 30th. December, we're going to be in Tulsa, Oklahoma City, Brooklyn, New Brunswick, New Jersey. January, Dallas, Houston. Sorry, this is different how we have to do it one at a time here. Dallas, Houston, Charleston, South Carolina. That recently just got added. I can't get enough of the Carolinas because then I go to Raleigh, North Carolina right after that. And then February on beyond, we got a lot of new dates here, guys. We've got Boise coming up. We got Salt Lake coming up. We've got Phoenix coming up. We've got Chicago coming up. Rosemont coming up. Washington, D.C. D.C. Improv is truly one of the best in the country. Everett, Tacoma, Philadelphia. Look at all these places I'm going, Mel. Lots of dates.
Crazy.
Fort Wayne, Indiana, all the way to Fort Wayne, Indiana. Portland, Oregon, there at Helium Comedy Club. Absolutely one of my favorites. Spokane, Vancouver, Las Vegas. We're almost there. Atlanta. We got to find a less clunky way to do this, don't we? I should just write them down. Columbus, Cincinnati, Louisville, Pittsburgh. Lots of places, guys.
Yeah, this is
Denver.
Hard.
That was brutal how we did that.
Well,
because it's all individually listed like that, but I'll tighten it up. I'll put it in a, you know what?
Put I have a note in your phone.
I'll do a note in my phone
because I think you have that on Instagram.
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. Have you seen that in my notes before? Yeah, I'll clean that up. Yeah,
on Instagram, you have it's in much the comments.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus, I don't have to say like Homestead, PA because it's Pittsburgh. I'm going to Pittsburgh, guys. I mean, specifically, it's Homestead, sure. But it's Pittsburgh. So, anyways, come out to some shows. Let's do some comments. We got some comments
shows.
And questions and stuff. If you go back to the doc there. This one is from Michael Bridge. Oh, scroll up. This one's from Michael Bridge. Mel needs to patent her laugh. It's great. Love the podcast. Man, I loved Blue Jays, but watch them a little closer to know that Joe has profiled them. Hilarious. This one, Dustin was a little snippy with Melissa in this one. Followed by, I tried my best, but the male host is unbearable.
Oh, man. Yes. Sounds like some YouTube is.
I saw that one. I
was YouTube comments.
Turnt in the comments.
You know what's funny about that is their ambivalent astronaut, which I commented that I was proud to be something they weren't ambivalent about. It is funny that someone says goes by ambivalent and then it's like, I hate this guy.
I don't know how many astronauts are ambivalent.
Yeah, they deleted that comment after I responded, by the way, which is fine. You can't hurt me. The Dustin was a little snippy. It was funny. I did respond to that because I brought that up to Mel. And you were like, yeah, you know, two episode days. Sometimes.
I couldn't remember.
Well,
it was the bird episode?
It was the bird episode.
Yeah.
I also think that sometimes, because when we have a guest, it's a little clunkier for everybody to find their beat and rhythm, you know? You see this
We recorded the intro on the back end. So I think if they were responding to how we set up the show? Because I felt during the episode it wasn't personally.
Listen, you never know how, no one's a blank slate, how they receive something, right?
Yeah. Sure.
You know? And I very well could have been.
I just don't remember.
Yeah.
It doesn't stick out in my memory.
No. I mean, I was mad at you, so I was
There you go.
Just kidding. Yeah. Here we go. Merch question. This is from Rebecca. This is on the Facebook group. You want to read this
one, Bill? Sure. Merch question. Do comedy shows have similar rules as band shows for what merch to wear? For instance, don't wear the merch from the band you're going to see, but wear something from a similarly amazing performer. I'm going to the show at the Neptune in October, but I don't want to look like a noob wearing my Backseater shirt. So we had a lot of comments about this on the Facebook group. There are people who are very much like, don't wear the band's t-shirt. I commented that I do not think this applies
to comedy.
I don't think this applies to comedy, and I think live band shows have changed because people come in costumes now and people wear old merch and then they buy the merch, they just put it on.
It's
super common now.
So
I think all rules are merch rules are off.
When you went to the Tyler Childress show, you couldn't believe how little some of those people were wearing. We were walking up the hill at the bowl, and I'm like, I'm putting my eyes down.
I have a photo that I still joke with my neighbor about. Because her son was at that concert, too. It's like, what's that word? There's a type of short that's like a, it's just lace. Like, it's just rows of lace. It's not really a short. It's a micro short.
You don't wear those to my shows.
Yeah.
No. You won't. You will stand out.
I do think Tyler Childers that anytime someone can like be in the country-ish lane, then you're going to see some micro shorts and cowboy boots. So that's my take, and I don't know if everyone agrees with me. Clearly they don't because the face group didn't. But I say you're allowed to wear the merch, past or present. And then a lot of the comments were like, but wear flannel.
Right.
That's so fun.
I like that.
Yeah.
And that's like a musician. I think that's dumb. I mean, sorry. Like, who are you going for? You're going to go for the other people in the room or are you going for the band? Like, support. If you're going to support a band wearing their shirt, says, hey, you guys are awesome. I came for you. I wore the t-shirt. Like, I mean, that is like the most generous thing. When you when we show up at a show and someone's actually wearing a shirt, especially if it's like an old shirt, oh, I've been listening to you for 20 years. Or, oh, it's like, oh, I remember that shirt. That shirt's awesome. I mean, that's a conversation starter with the band. I mean, like, don't sell yourself short because you're trying to impress, like, other people there that you don't know. I've always thought that's the dumbest rule.
Like, you're
going
to be cooler than the band because you didn't wear their shirt.
The faux pas was, like, if you're in the band wearing your own t-shirt, that's the taboo one.
And wearing I like when bands wear shirts of other bands. Or a lot of time the headliner. And they'll do that. Your friend Tyler does that?
No, Tyler Childers was wearing, who was it?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah.
Manchester?
Yeah. Don't remember.
Yeah.
It's a very like 80s, like rock era thing.
Yeah.
To, like wear your own band t-shirt.
That was a very
ego driven like industry where it was like, Poison's wearing a Poison shirt. Like that's it's kind of like funny and tongue in cheek, but also like very rock star of them. But that's kind of the taboo thing in bands. Like, oh, you're really going to wear your own band t-shirt when you're out. That's the bigger one than if you're like a fan wearing the band's t-shirt. Like that's dumb.
I'll just say this. Comedians don't sell merch like bands do. We don't have, there's not as many comedy shirts flying around as there is there are band shirts. I'd love it. I look down and I see a fan. I see someone who's come to multiple live shows before. And because that's where the only place, I mean, you can buy some of our merch on our website, but we don't sell a lot from there. And I was like, oh, there's just someone who likes being a fan of mine. I'm in the business of trying to get fans. So thanks for being a fan. I love it. I love when people bring books that they had already bought and sign it. I have some people who have bring like that, who I've signed the book multiple times. They bring it each time, you know, like I carve it into a tree every summer. You know,
that's great.
Yeah, I love that. I love all that kind of stuff. Flannel is my favorite that people do, and it is. But the funny thing is, flannel sometimes, you know, they could have just been wearing that. Flannel is quite popular. So, the other thing I see a lot is people wear their Seattle sports gear in cities that I'm not, when I'm not in Seattle. Like, I was in Boston this last week, and I was looking at a guy in a Mariners hat, you know, and I was like, he wore that because of this, which is great, because people from Seattle move. It's very expensive.
I mean, I know, like, Eliza, she wears her merch.
Yeah.
To her shows.
Hey, do what you want to do. You know?
Like, black leggings and her merch.
Eliza is a very keen social media business person. So, by the way, I want to read you. So, I started this thing and we were talking about like adding an element of live shows or like adding
in the BTS we were talking about.
I'm just trying to make like live shows a great experience. I'm like, how can I do this to make it like thing only happens at the live show? And my I was like, well, I'm going to do a roast of sports teams. That's what I'm going to do. So I did it in Boston. I just wanted to read you guys this one. So I'm doing one in San Francisco this weekend. So if you might hear this. So I guess follow basketball. This is related to what I just said. So forever the Warriors had Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. And they were like a dynasty. And they were unbelievable. They called them the Splash Brothers. It was great. And then Klay got traded to the Dallas Mavericks. So they broke it up. And Klay and Steph ended the way most. So this is the joke. What a dynasty. But Klay Thompson and Steph Curry ended the way most friendships do in California. You both turn 30 and one of you moves to Texas. Oh, that's
pretty... yep.
That's pretty good, right? Hey, we got some, that's like a cost of living joke. So wear whatever you like. You know, just you might get dress coded if it's not up to school policy, but what's dress coded homeschool?
Well, if your kids in homeschool go to other smaller private schools in addition to, then you have potentially a uniform. But otherwise, it's pajamas.
Do your kids have uniforms?
Yeah, for one of the schools they go to. Yeah.
Little
polo, little khaki.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, I have two more things I wanted to say.
I got to hope they turn out punk one way or another. So some kind of form of like fettered conformity is necessary.
Good. You got to take what you can get.
Yeah.
I was in a retro toy store yesterday. Did you have one of these guys? This is My Little Bible Friends.
No.
You ever seen one of these guys? Faith, My Little Bible Friends. You ever heard of one of these? That's not what I sent you.
No.
All right. So pull up the first picture that I sent you. This is related to concert attire. You never had a My Little Bible Friend? They had a faith. They had a hope. So, so speaking of concert attire, if you want to know what concerts in your 40s look like, it is this picture right here. Melissa, I turned to my left and just saw a row of Adidas. Mm-hmm. Just Adidas.
The same color jeans.
The exact same jeans, just a strong base. What do you call that? How do we describe
it? Orthopedic sole.
Yeah, an orthopedic sole laced up tight. The same blue jean. One's over on each of these shoes, each of these pairs of feet, one is over the tongue, one's tucked into the tongue, sloppy. Standing on cement. This is concerts in your 40s. Everyone's wearing these shoes. And do you want to know specifically what these shoes are? Pull up the other tech. These are the $37.99. Costco Adidas specials. These are sold for under 40. Oh, so they're meant for over 40, but sold for under 40. These are the Adidas Kirkland Signature specials.
Wow.
They might as well hand these out at the over 40 concerts.
Have a Costco logo on them.
Yes.
If they were Kirklands, like, I mean, they would go hard. Oh. Like, those would sell out if they were Kirkland brand straight up.
This is the shoe that is, I mean, this is the shoe that is the face of, please have this show over by 7:30. you know.
I mean, it's kind of like the I don't care anymore.
Yeah. No shoe has ever hated general admission more than this shoe. You know when you see this shoe the most? Them leaving before the encore.
There they go. We will skip the encore. I have to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
This is the I have to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
Shoe.
This is the official shoe of don't play the new stuff. I'm here for the hits.
No nonsense. It is a no nonsense shoe. No fluff.
Yeah.
No, I'm not paying that for that.
At least they're still going to concerts and they're, you know, and like it isn't full quit. Like the Skechers, I don't go to concerts anymore. This person hasn't quit yet. They're still trying, but
yeah, this is a festival shoe in the day and a nice walk at night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. At dusk. Yeah. A nice dusk walk.
Yeah. Maybe back to the parking lot.
Yeah. In bed at 9. Mm hmm.
Incredible. It's so, and go back to the picture. I mean, they look unscuffed too. Like, because I think that, I mean, any shoe.
Costco had a coupon this week.
Yeah.
Or you've got three of these at home.
Yeah. Any shoe that you pick up with your kids' lunch supplies is not a stylish shoe. It's a functional shoe, right? That's a functional shoe. Mm-hmm. But if you go back, do you have the concert picture? I mean, I am looking at the... It's all right if you don't.
No, I do. It's all right.
When you look at the concert picture, you know that their feet hurt still.
Yeah, it's funny because our middle child, she had like an Adidas kind of hybrid running shoe.
Yeah.
And when she started canoeing, the coach was like, she can't run in these.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't actually have any cushioning.
Hilarious.
Like for like running. Yeah.
That's exactly.
This is literally.
The running shoe for non-runners.
Yeah. And she was like a seventh grader, sixth grader. So she had these like $40 Adidas shoes.
Yeah.
And the coach was like, she can't run in these. They don't actually support her foot.
That guy on the left, I mean, that's a straight sciatica stance. I mean, relieving the right, you know, right foot pressure there. I mean, that's what those are meant for.
This is the shoe for a lot of people focusing on their posture, for sure. You know.
They're out and about.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah.
They saved a lot of money on their footwear. They did.
Which is how they can still afford a concert. Yeah.
Two tickets, one pair of shoes, under $150. Yes.
This says, yes, I can afford Taylor Swift with my daughter.
Yeah, truly. This is the shoe that reserved a parking spot ahead of time. You know, I love it. All right, let's go to some other articles here. So there are a couple articles I wanted to discuss. At least one.
Are we going to do a weekend recap? Or
weekend
is,
recap.
Or
we
is
have
this,
that coming.
Do you,
we got it.
I'm just checking.
Oh, the articles.
Okay.
Yep.
Let's do... I want to do one article discussion, and then we'll do a weekend recap.
First one or second one?
First one. The second one we'll save for another day. I wanted to discuss this with you, Mom. Mel.
Yes.
Okay, so I saw this online.
Mm-hmm.
Prince William shares the one, quote, very strict rule he and Kate Middleton have for their three kids. The Prince of Wales also shared his sports and activities. Da, 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 da. So this is just a basic piece here on, you know, they're doing some feature on the royals or whatever.
Yeah, he was on Eugene.
You can scroll down
Levy.
A little more.
Levy.
Okay.
Levy.
Okay. So while exploring Windsor Castle grounds, Eugene Levy asked what the 43-year-old royal does when he's home, and if that includes sit-down dinners with his three kids. Absolutely, yes, definitely, William said about having dinner as a family. He then elaborated on what goes on the table. So sit and chat is really important, the prince said. None of our children have any phones. We're very strict about. Okay, so that's all we need to get. So their strict rules are no phones at the table, and we all... So. The royals' really strict rule is everybody sits down and eats dinner together.
No phones.
With no phones.
Yeah.
Melissa, what are your immediate thoughts on the royals implicating a strict everybody sits down and eats together and chats, no phones rule.
Yeah, that's pretty baseline.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I mean, they're not like us, you know? They have like guards and maids and cooks and chefs and help and nannies. Mm-hmm. But I'm fine with it. This is kind of a clickbait thing, like, oh, wait, you know, but I'm happy for them.
Yeah.
They're having a meal together.
I couldn't have rolled my eyes back further when I read this article. My eyes rolled back so far that they touched my shoulder blades. They went full back of head, Undertaker style, all the way back to my back shoulder blades.
Like, ooh, found them all.
Yeah.
I do think this is the same thing as like the Facebook execs, you know, who are like, oh, I would never give my kid an iPad or a phone. You're like, okay, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well... Yeah, your kid doesn't need their phone because they have acres of grounds to explore. I'm sure they have a wilderness of their own that they can. They have a Narnia in their backyard. They have paid play hands. They have every toy imaginable. Mm-hmm. I think it's very... I just roll my eyes because don't tell me about your mealtime rules of a meal you didn't cook. Don't tell me about like the busyness of your kids' activities when you didn't drive them to those activities. I just,
right.
I've never understood the fascination with the Royals. Mm-hmm. I've never.
It's just like any celebrity.
Oh, I mean, listen, I mean, I wear men I don't know's sports jerseys. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I put other people's names on my back at times, but
yeah.
I get it's a celebrity that they're interested. But I laughed. I was like, you don't live in our world. Don't pretend that you have the same rules and lives to enforce as us.
Right.
But wrong that it's a good principle. Right. But
I mean, maybe I can entertain my kids at the table too if there was like four different types of protein prepared by one of the highest quality chefs in the land.
Thank you. That's what I'm saying. Andy's with me. I don't know why you went so... You've always had a soft spot for the Royals. You have always had a soft spot. It's an interesting thing about you that I've never articulated till right now. You've always had a little bit of thing for the Royals.
Yeah, I like them a little bit.
I want some of that. I'm not going to knock
no,
this. What if I end up there one day?
Didn't you expect her to come in a little harder like me and you did? I expected you to lampoon it, but you've always had a little thing for the Royals.
I am always like, I give them the benefit of the doubt. Yeah.
Of all people.
I know.
The royal family.
I know.
I'm
over here getting benefited down to, Kate plus eight. You know, and
I like write it down. No phones for children. This is a new concept for me. I guess the funny thought is like they're fighting over a landline. You know,
yeah,
like they're sharing one bathroom. They're running into each other in the kitchen.
They don't live our world, man.
They ran out of milk.
Somebody else goes and tells those kids to go like, sit down at the table.
Ding, 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 dinner time.
Yeah,
hey, sit down. We're going to pretend to be commons.
I know.
I know. I'm being over the top. You know.
I mean, listen to this sentence.
They're like at tennis.
Yeah.
What's the big tennis tournament?
Wimbledon.
They're at Wimbledon, like, you know, clapping. And...
Lewis loves the trampoline. You love the royal family. So he's obsessed by trampolining. Nobody uses that as a verb.
Trampolining.
And actually, Charlotte does it a lot as well. As far as I can tell, they just end up jumping and up and down the trampoline, beating each other up most of the time. As far as I can tell, are you not watching them?
Unsupervised trampoline play.
We've been told.
As far as I can tell, every day for 8 to 10 years, I got on the trampoline as well. I told you through tears the other day that I would kill to jump on the trampoline with my kids again.
Yeah,
I would take me back. As far as I can tell,
I know
they just end up jumping up and down the trampoline.
Oh, you out there trampolining today?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what you do on it. It's called jumping. Have you never jumped?
It's called a backyard. No, you're right.
No,
you're right.
No. I love that we unlocked this soft spot that you have for the Royals.
No,
though.
it's a completely out of touch, and you're right.
I have it for athletes.
You know? You'll give them,
at least the athletes of my team. So I'm like,
no, they do.
What happened? What really happened?
Yeah.
Some athletes can be tough to defend. all right. Well, let's go back to.
That's a good one.
Let's do some weekend recaps. Okay. You and I. So I'm actually going to go back 2 weekends. And then our timeline here. So.
Okay.
My weekend, you mind scrolling down a little further there, buddy? Mm-hmm. So first off, you had an Oktoberfest weekend. 2 weekends ago, I'm going to talk about I was in Connecticut and caught Nate's show. But this last weekend, our timeline's a little different. But you went to La Mesa, where we live here, has a strangely vibrant and huge Oktoberfest.
Yes.
Strange in that I think there's two big ones in San Diego. It's OB and here, as far as I know.
You probably know more than
very I different vibes, yeah. I imagine.
I was say.
Andy, look at this.
Hole.
See that?
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is new. They've got like huge, you know, 3-story high inflatables announcing this Oktoberfest. I don't know. I've never done it as like an over 21-year-old, like in the beer gardens.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just with my kids. They want to see their friends.
Yeah.
You know, and so last year we tried to go, but all our kids didn't want to go with us on Sunday. But yeah, they closed down the streets for like 4 days and you can't move. Like, The pathway is so narrow, it's packed, it's everyone is here. Mm-hmm. So I had to drive my older daughter on Friday. She went, I picked her up like at 10 before it gets a little too rowdy.
Yeah.
And then I brought my little one and her friend Claire on Saturday. We came earlier intentionally. It was still daylight, so it's a little bit less rowdy.
Right.
And we went home around 8. Mm-hmm. But it was hot. It was a hot day, and it was very crowded. And so I kind of, like, got them dinner, and then they ate it in our, like, little studio. So they could get a table. There's no seating.
This is a little hack crowded that we have during these downtown La Mesa events. You're like, ooh, we got good private bathroom access. Yeah,
chairs. So they ate up here, then they went back out, saw some friends, came back, and then went back out again. And so I literally, just to keep an eye on them because they're sixth graders, I stayed in proximity, but I literally had the AC on in here, the lights out, and I polished off the nerd clusters in here.
Which, by the way, two more big bags
I really
that were brought to us
down
by
thank
Carrie,
you, Carrie.
Carrie out in Boston this last
Thank
weekend.
You, Carrie, for refilling our supplies. So, it was really kind of a low and a high point for me because everyone was out there socializing on the street and I was eating nerd clusters in the dark.
I don't see
alone.
The low point there. I see that as a high point.
Yeah. You know, you got to refill as a parent.
I told you. I was like, there's the liquor store's on the corner. Go grab an Oktoberfest here, Nerds Gummy Cluster.
Private room at Oktoberfest in La Mesa.
Hear the music. Hear the music.
So there's a ton of cigar smoke now.
Right. Yeah, because Hoffer's opened back up. Yeah.
And there's no AC in this building. We just have a window unit. So I had to hide.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did.
I think this is like a, maybe this is a over 40 thing. You seem pretty over events.
Well, I did see the owner of Public Square and I was like, hi, I'm hiding up here. He was like, I get it, you know? And I did feel like a bed and breakfast owner all weekend because I was driving these people to local events. They were sleeping over. I was providing them breakfast. I was doing the laundry, all their bedding.
Right.
Twice, 2 nights in a row. Plus, like, it was like I was a bed and breakfast owner with tours.
Yeah.
You know, I also gave local tours to these these children that were mine and their friends. So I was pretty exhausted and burnt out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of hung in here. But yeah, I think if
Dreamy.
You, like I literally was like, okay, I'll take Claire to volleyball, then I'll drop off Gloria, then I'll pick up Claire from volleyball, then I'll pick up Gloria,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so that was kind of the way my weekend went, like 1,000%.
Yeah. Uber driver.
Mm-hmm.
Amazon driver for the package hates you.
I'm
sure they were grateful the whole time.
Very exhausting.
Mm-hmm. They said, thank you so much for this beautiful life that you provide for me, Mom. I'm so grateful for all these social activities. I could never do this without you.
And also, I could have never planned around them.
Right.
Like, you know, you're like, oh, I'm going to meet a friend in the beer garden at Oktoberfest. You're like, no, I have two children with different schedules.
Yeah, drinking in public is a young person's thing. I don't really have an interest in it, you know, a beer garden. I like both of those things separate.
To be fair, a lot of people are dressed up.
Yeah. No, it's a big event. Yeah.
The Goodwill has like the suspenders and like wigs and hats and, you know, like Bavarian.
Yeah.
They like laid that all out.
Lederhosen.
Yeah.
That's what they call it. Yeah.
Yeah. And like the little green hats. And
great.
And
very
then
festive.
They do have a really big pretzel and bratwurst. The lines were very long. I did not get either.
Yeah.
But, you know.
It's kind of an under 30 or over 50 thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That feels right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I'm sure there were some older people who were out and about and loving it. And
oh, yeah.
And they had some cover bands playing and...
We're
going to
play
that.
Originals. Don't.
Yeah.
I think support I heard, art, but not right now.
I think I heard like, I wish you would step out from that ledge, my friend.
Yeah. I mean, not a happy song.
No.
Yeah.
Just some sort of cover.
Yeah.
Like,
no, everybody was singing along. Yeah, it was going great. You're like, this is actually a pretty dark song.
Yeah, it's like at the large dark too.
Yeah. It's like we're gonna play the pumped up kick song. Don't read the lyrics. It's a real downer.
I just mean like a SoCal cover band.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, but the you just kind of over it right now.
And they can almost hit the notes.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
No, we went and then because Sunday I got home. And we were kind of toying with the idea, and then the Mariners game got scheduled for Sunday night, and I was like, hey, I got a six-pack of Oktoberfest beer and some Nerds gummy clusters, and I'm going to watch this game. And we're like, and you said it was your favorite night of Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm going to have one, maybe two of these if they win.
It's a hard... you know, one of our kids is on fall break.
Yeah.
And these are big weekends for our kids because this is their town and they have an event where they can kind of run amok, you know, and they know the places. It's their friend groups.
Yeah.
They're kind of free. You know, they have a meeting point and, you know, like it. So it's a big part of their childhood. I don't remember having these kind of events when I was growing up.
I mean, I think this is a little bit the rise of
the
millennials
mall.
Thing.
This
but
is
yeah.
a bit of the mall, like.
Well, we always went to an Oktoberfest held by the Catholic Church in our town.
Really?
And it was like a little carnival, and like it was. I mean, for me, like this clicks on like I'm like I remember being a kid and looking forward to that like time of year doing that. Like I want to say too, like usually the Greek festivals go off. Fascinating how all the mainline churches were like, yeah, let's party.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I can't articulate. I guess. The fair, or going to the mall.
Yeah,
you know, so it's kind of there's safety in numbers, and it's. But again, it's not. I'm not planning this with my friends.
Yeah, love a community event. I love that it happens. I don't want to go to it, but I love that it happens.
I'll drop you off at the library.
I'll tell you the big community event I went to.
Nate's MSG.
Headlined MSG. So we're 45 minutes into the episode. We should deliver on the title.
Yeah, we should. Uh-huh.
it actually is kind of tied in the sense that I'm always just so impressed when people... Mulaney opened one of his specials a while back doing this. Impressed when anybody does anything because it's so much easier to not do something. Mm-hmm. And going to a downtown La Mesa event is a pain. And to Nate, getting to MSG is a pain. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you live in the city and you can train there, sure. Maybe it's a little easier. But I mean,
it still takes a lot of planning.
It's an enormous spectacle. And mm-hmm. to sell out, I've been very fortunate to be on some massive shows in my day and to attend some other shows. Mm-hmm. When I did the tour, what was Burt's tour called? I did a run of the Burt Festival shows that were great, fully loaded.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Literally stadiums, amazing. I've done a bunch of arena shows with Nate. It takes something to and it was MSG. I was in Connecticut. I was playing New York Comedy Club in Stamford, Connecticut, mm-hmm. which is 40 minutes outside the city. And so I was doing a bunch in town, but I was like, oh my gosh, this works out great that I'm going to go and I can catch Nate's matinee show. He was like, I don't know. There's a couple things where you're like, this is spectacular still that can get you. And MSG is it. I've been to MSG mm-hmm. twice. Joel and I saw a Knicks game there. You and I saw Weezer there on 9/11 of all days.
Yes.
And a couple years ago. And it is, I mean, it's the world's most famous arena. That's mm-hmm. what they call it, you know, and being backstage, you see a lot of pictures backstage, but then you go backstage at MSG, you're like, oh, wow. That's everybody, you know.
Don't they have banners up with residencies?
Because
I haven't been backstage, but I feel like Joe Coy has.
I don't think that.
Am I thinking of something else? I don't know. I've only been there once.
Billy Joel is
That's the one I'm thinking of.
Which, all due respect to Joe Coy.
He's up there. Sorry.
Joe Coy has one at the Irvine Improv.
You're right. I knew it was a J. Billy Joel has banners up.
Yeah.
About how many nights he did in a row.
Yeah, I mean, and he still plays there often. Yeah.
Yeah.
How many, mm-hmm. can you Google, how many, Billy, I mean, I think he has the record or whatever. The first question is how many times has he been married? a record-breaking 150 times, concluded his historic, he had a monthly residency. That's crazy.
Wow.
And most consecutive performances—that's insane. So he had a monthly residency for a decade. That's crazy.
That's unbelievable.
I can't believe you could be able to do that.
And I've seen a basketball game there, and a concert there, and I've been backstage at a comedy show there. I'm like, it lives up to the hype. It's and to see, I mean, Nate, we talked about it at the Emmys, just to see that level of excitement from fans mm-hmm. and energy in the building, and his new hour is so freaking good. I hadn't seen it since Vegas because the last time I saw Nate was in mm-hmm. Vegas when we were out there, and he was still kind of working a lot. It was still so funny then, mm-hmm. but I was dying backstage while watching it. So, but it was great. And, it was
Jimmy Fallon was on the show.
Well, that was the thing. You're always when you're in the rotation of openers, you know, we're mm-hmm. Who's going to get MSG? I mean, I knew I was never in play for MSG because I'm not one of the New York guys. Usually, if I'm on mm-hmm. Nate shows, they're usually the West Coast ones. A lot of time you'll get your home cities, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then we saw the lineup that it was going to be Julian, who hosts all of them, his dad, Stephen, and Jimmy Fallon. And you're like, sure. Yeah, I wasn't in mm-hmm. competition for any of those. Yeah. The guy who hosts all of them, Julian, who does a great job and had a very, very funny crowd work moment where he brought a kid on stage that was it was the very, very funny exchange. And then into Stephen, into Jimmy Fallon. It's unbelievable. It was great.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. So being backstage and just being like, oh, hey, there's Jimmy Fallon. We're in this little side stage area. That Jimmy is I mean, this is the second time I've seen him. The other times when I did his show.
Yeah.
But love stand-up. Mm-hmm. And my favorite moment of the backstage was there was the green rooms, and then they set up this side stage, almost kind of mm-hmm. loungy area. And then that's where Fallon wanted to go because he's mm-hmm. I want to go hear the show and hear the laughs.
Yeah.
And you're like, this is just a live performer.
Oh,
this
yeah.
is a guy who, mm-hmm. and he went out, and it was a huge electric moment, and it was really fun. And then he wrote this kind of not the word customs, not the word. He wrote a song for that show.
About Nate's
About
MSG,
MSG and Nate and people at the, and it was this very great crowd interaction thing. And you talk about people who just have it, like bleed it. And like different people would light up, the different sections would light up their phones at different times. And it was like, oh, I got the cheap seats, da 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 da. It was great.
So
and I like went into Nate, and then Nate has a new intro that's like great. And it shows like
The climb.
It shows the climb. It shows like some of his early shows that look like borderline open mics and stuff.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Mm-hmm. It's like.
So he's got a good like intro video.
It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. It's so freaking.
It's awesome.
The show is so freaking good right now in the hour. And just getting to see that was crazy because, you know, you have like an idea. It's like, it's just a rock star. It's having a friend who's a rock star is what it is.
Yeah.
It's how, you know what it is? Mm-hmm. It's how like you used to hear like comics. From the 80s comics would talk about Eddie Murphy like this.
Yeah.
Where you're just like, what? You did what? You did MSG? Yeah. Three times? It used to be like a huge deal when you did MSG. It was like Dice did it. And that was a huge deal. And then Dane did it. And that was a huge deal. And then Nate did a 3 p.m. MSG.
Amazing.
Crazy. So the people came out is amazing. I had a very funny weekend out there, and that I flew in on Thursday. My shows were Friday and Saturday. I flew in on Thursday because MLB Network wanted to be, we do it on Friday, and they were out in Jersey. So I was like, okay.
Talking about the Mariners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, so I got to rent a car, and so I'm going to, I have one good foot right now, but this other foot can drive when it's in a sock or a brace, not this boot. Can't be driving around in the boot. So I land in JFK. I go out and I stay in a hotel in Jersey. There's like a, the Ryder Cup is going on at this time. And there was like a big UN summit, I think, in New York. So hotels were expensive, which meant I slept on an air mattress at Graham K's place in Brooklyn. You've been liking my little phrase, air mattress in Brooklyn.
Yep.
But because we had the car, Steven Rogers was opening for me. We were able to drive into the show, which driving into MSG is as smooth as you would like it to be. There's driving and then there's Manhattan driving. It's just the worst. I didn't tell you this. I saw a spot that I was like, I'm trying to make sense of the sign. I was like, am I allowed to park here?
Yeah.
And then I looked and it was like, it said like commercial and I couldn't understand it. And then I asked a guy who was driving like a black SUV. I was like, am I allowed to park here? And he goes, not in your wildest dreams are you allowed to park here.
Only in New York would he reply like that. Not in your wildest dreams. Okay.
I was like,
so no?
Yeah. Thanks. Appreciate your help. In my wildest dreams, and I am I a driver in this scenario?
You're a celebrity.
Yeah. That's not in your wildest dreams, are you?
Mayor.
But I did have a story to tell you that just kind of relates. So Nate's doing MSG. I'm playing a mall out in Connecticut.
Yes.
A nice mall, by the way. For the record, a nice mall.
With parking.
And it is fun to, that's the funny thing about New York is it's, as it's same thing's happening everywhere. As things get more expensive, people just keep driving further and further out of it and calling themselves a suburb of New York. You're like, I'm an hour from the city at this point. No traffic, I'm an hour from the city. So if we're still calling this
New York,
and I made that joke, I was like, we're actually not even in the state of New York anymore. And pretty soon we're going to be like in Buffalo and you'll be like, I'm in a suburb of New York. Okay, whatever you need to tell yourself. But so I was very excited to tell you the story. So we're in the green room. It's a nice green room. There's a little pool table. Steve and I are going over our notes, stuff like that. Just saw Nate
at MSG.
MSG walk into the green room, huge spread of food. We were going to go to Pizza Suprema, which is like my favorite pizza place in New York. It might be Supreme. I don't know. It's unbelievable. And then there was a ton of good pizza there. You're like, sure, I brought a lactaid. Let's go to work. Having some wings, having some stuff. It's a great spread. Jimmy Fallon's there. Unbelievable. Hey, what do you have? We got some coffee. It's great. It's beautiful. It's like I'm the star of the show. It's unbelievable. Looking at pictures of Bowie. It's great. And then we go to our mall in Connecticut, and Steven is a little tired, and he's going to have a Keurig, and he opens the Keurig, and a cockroach comes out.
Oh, living in the Keurig.
In the Keurig. So Nate's playing MSG. I'm doing a mall with a cockroach in the Keurig.
Ew.
And Steven, a New Yorker from Syracuse who lives in Queens now.
You freak out.
It startled him. It's hard to get a New Yorker to jump at a cockroach.
Or a rat, or a
homeless person, or anything like that. Steven goes, Steven gasped, because that is truly shocking. And then, where's it go? Back into the Keurig.
Did he tell the staff?
I don't know. I'm sure he did. Steven's a very thoughtful person. Cockroach in the Keurig.
You gotta trash that Keurig.
Nate's at MSG, and we got a cockroach in the Keurig.
Oh.
I intentionally didn't tell you that story for 2 weeks because I wanted the live reaction. Because what you did, there's our still. Now. And that great. So somebody, that goes into an email that somebody sent us here. So if you scroll down, we got this email here. This is from Stephanie. Do you want to read this, Mel?
Sure. I had never seen a cockroach in my life until moving to Alabama. I've found that spraying a border spray outside the house does wonders.
What's a border spray?
It's like a pesticide kind of.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's like $10 a bottle and lasts for months. Our cat and dogs kill a lot of them too, so hopefully your cats will get into the game too. Here's what we experienced this morning. My three-year-old always volunteers to help.
So yeah, then there was a picture of the dad getting rid of a cockroach with a bowl on the,
on the ceiling?
I believe it was on the ceiling. We can't show the pictures, but yeah.
Okay.
Anyways, Alabama. Another point for Alabama. I think somebody sent here to scroll up. I'm editing it. So, this was from Joy. She said, I'm currently waiting for Nate Bargatze's show to start. This is an image. Saw some familiar faces. I learned about Nate from Don't Make Me Come Back There. You're welcome, Nate. And I learned about Dustin when he was a guest on the Bible is Funny podcast. I've learned as I get older, my memories lie to me. Yeah, I bet there was some out of order situations there, but some people have said that actually. That's one of my favorite Taylor stories is we're walking the streets of Denver and it's me, Mateo Lane, and Taylor, and somebody comes up and wants to take a picture. I'm clearly the least famous one there, and they want to take a picture with me. And this has happened 3-4 times now where somebody recognizes me and not Taylor compared to 5,000 times with Taylor. Every time I have Taylor take the picture. I was like, yeah. No, this hugely famous person right there.
Yeah.
So you're welcome, Nate. I sold you at least one of your 45,000 tickets.
That's how much the arena holds.
I think.
Times three.
I think it's 15. Do you want to do more capacity, MSG?
Oof. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, it's just something else, man. Wow. No, my gosh, it's
20,000.
That might be not seated though. I don't know. It doesn't matter how many it was. It was the most you could do.
Wow. Oh.
Yeah, that's a seating capacity.
Yeah, it's insane. It's just a crazy, crazy. But it's really fun and exciting and like inspiring to see. And I love the new intro video and everything. It's great. So congrats to Nate and all of Nate's team and Nate Land. It's fun to be a part of. It's cool.
I will have these like dreams. And I had a cockroach dream.
You did have a cockroach
on
dream.
Thursday or Friday. You were leaving for the airport, and I was like, hey, in my dream, we found another cockroach, and can you confirm if that's true or not? Because I was, like, spiraling over finding
this
another
is when
cockroach
I got up
in
to
the
leave,
house.
Right? Yeah.
And I was going to have to call the exterminators and clean, and you're like, no, that's a dream.
That was a dream, and then you got some rest after that.
But it felt real.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was going to give one bingo dingo, by the way, what I was listening to while I was in New York. Bryn, Taylor's sibling, recommended this to me. The Riddler, Secrets in the Dark. This is like an audio, what do they call it? Like story?
A book? Audio book?
No, it's not an audio book. It's like plays. Like
drama?
Like an audio drama.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's like episodes?
It's like episodes. Yeah.
It's like a podcast.
I don't even know what to call it.
Right.
What would we call this?
An audio series?
An audio series,
yeah.
It tells a story.
Comedy?
It's like an old radio show. There's voice actors and stuff. Yeah.
Gimlet did this with a couple shows, like when they first developed their podcast network, like fictional style storytelling audio. It's really cool.
There was a Wolverine one a couple years ago that I listened to that was unbelievable.
So is it how many episodes?
It is 8 episodes.
Nice.
And Hasan Minhaj plays the Riddler, which was funny because as I was listening, I was like, it takes me a bit to get out. You're like, I know who this is. Like, he's not my friend or anything, but you're like, this is a comedian I know pretty well. But he does a great job, and I highly recommend it. And the kind of like both the Wolverine ones and stuff were this way too, like a mystery. It just feels like kind of old, like Sherlock Holmesy, like old time radio type stuff. It's like a mystery that we got to solve together.
Did you listen to that with Steven?
No, but Steven had listened to it.
Oh,
yeah. And I was very behind on it. And
that's nice.
And Bryn recommended it to me. Mm-hmm. And then I realized I do like the mystery element of it because then Bryn also, they recommended a Harley Quinn one. And I made it like half an episode. I'm like, nah, I want the mystery.
Oh, okay.
Also, the Harley Quinn story, the origin story, I've heard it a million times. I've read it a million times.
But that's not mysterious.
I get it. She falls for the Joker. He's very charming. She has dad stuff. I get it. But this is just a one-off whodunit. A good old-fashioned whodunit.
Nice.
And Batman and the Riddler have to team up. Yes! That is right up my alley. Anyway, so check that out if that's your thing.
Awesome.
I think that's it. Did we get everything?
I don't know.
Bye!
Bye!
Hey, everybody. Want to give a special shout-out to our As Essential As Oils patrons. That's our $25 a month and up patrons who give to our podcast. Thank you so much for your support of our work. They are
Adam Bush,
Alex Foose and Sam Graham,
Averill Griffiths,
Allison Nelson,
Andy and Darlene Gerton,
Bonnie Galindo,
Brandon Schoenberger,
Gary Teague,
Chris Finn,
Christopher and Bridget Finlin,
Code to Grow,
Courtney Ibling,
Dam Aris Diaz Stevens,
Daniel Owens,
Dave and Melissa Cox,
Dave Hoagland,
Jason and Francis White,
Jonathan Rivera,
Jordan Cowan,
Juliana Smith,
Christy Harrod,
Lori Amos,
Lauren and Nick Rachel,
Matt and Sam Slazdom,
Michelle Kauslan,
Nick Cordell,
Norman Perron,
Preston and Rachel Wilson,
Raina Camps,
Robert and Nellie Capen,
Scott Elliott,
Stephen Menya,
Zachary and Tammy Moyle,
and
Tiffany Payne.
Thanks so much, everybody.